Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We'll start at the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Vov Amid Beit, where the Mishnah begins that Sanhedrin hoisa chatsi kechatsi goyrin agula kidei shehu royin ze ezeh. That when you have the Sanhedrin sitting in session, and this Sanhedrin is Lav Dafka, the big Sanhedrin, what we call the Sanhedrin Gedoyla of 70 or 71, but even the Sanhedrin Ketana of 23, when the 23 Dayanim sat together, they didn't sit in a row, as you normally expect, but rather it was in a crescent shape, like a U shape, in other words, a half of a circle. What's the reason for that? We'll see Me'achem in the Gemara momentarily. And this way everybody was able to see one another. Because if it would be just a straight, long table with 23 Dayanim, the Dayan on the right side would not be able to see the Dayan on the left side, and vice versa. And therefore, they had to sit in such a crescent shape, and therefore everybody was able to see the other. You're wondering to yourself, why crescent? Why wasn't it a full circle? So Rashi says that the reason is because when the Edim have to go and testify, if they're going to testify smack in the middle of the circle, half of the people will see him from the front and half will only see from the back. And when you see a person from the back, you really can't go and see his face and his mouth and his gestures and his eyes, you know, to try to get a sense as to whether the person is telling the truth or whether he's making it up on the spot or ad-libbing or whatever. It's always very good to be able to look the aide in the face and see exactly what he's saying and how he's gesturing and how he's saying it. Even when it comes to shiurim, it says that one of the was it Reb Meir that said, if I would have seen a Rebbe from his face instead of from his back. Rebbe said, Reb Meir, thank you. That if I would see him from his front, from front face, that I would learn so much more, I'd know so much more, rather than just seeing from the side or from the back. Anyway, so Zogt unsere Mishnah, that's why they were in such a half a circle shape. Ushnei soifrei hadayonim im lefneim. And there were two stenographers, echmim and v'echem esmol, one standing on the right side, one standing on the left side. The koisvin divrei, and the Masur Shas just switches it around, like Rashi has, the koisvin divrei hamezakin, the divrei hamachayvin. We always want to be poiseach l'schus. So therefore, one would write the schus, and one would write the chayovin. Now, poshib shat, and this is the way we learned it a couple of days ago when we had this Gemara, which quoted our Mishnah, that one of them wrote all of the arguments of the Rabbi. We're not talking about the Edom or the arguments of the two Balei Dinim, but rather what we're talking about is the initial arguments of the Dayanim, that the Dayanim got together, and some are starting to quote Gemaras and Rashis and Tosefta's and Mishnayis and this and that, the other thing, Pesukim in the Torah, and the others the same, some L'chiyuv and some L'schus. Some negative, Chas Hashem, to convict, and some, Baruch Hashem, to acquit. So Parshat is, one writes down all of the acquittal information, the other one writes down all the conviction information. But that's not how Rashi learns this Mandiyama. Rashi says that both of them wrote both, the Divrei HaMezakin and the Divrei HaMechayvin, and the reason is so that at the end of the day, the two stenographers can go and compare both of their recorded arguments to see whether one or the other left out something or misquoted something. This would be a good opportunity for the two of them to compare notes. Also good. So that is the according to Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shloisha. There were three stenographers. Echad Koisev Divrei HaMezakin. Only the Divrei HaMezakin. V'Echad Koisev Divrei HaMechayvin. Only the Divrei HaMechayvin. V'Ashlishi. And the third one Koisev both the Divrei HaMezakin and the Divrei HaMechayvin. And Rashi says that that third one was for the purpose so that he could go and then review the other two recorded stenography recordations, or they could go and compare against his. So in case that there was some sort of mistake, then the Yovi HaKosher HaShlishi V'Yachriya B'Neihem, he would be able to go and say, no, no, you're wrong. He didn't say it this way, he said it that way. And of course, maybe he made the mistake. But the point is that there was one that was dedicated just for the Divrei HaMezakin, that's for acquittal. The other one was dedicated for Divrei HaMechayvin for conviction. And that third one wrote both, and that was for comparison purposes.
This is in addition to the ones who wrote about the Edim and the Baladim. This is just for the judges?
This is just for the judges. The
Divrei HaMechayvin. There were like four or five. Stenographers.
Our Mishnah doesn't refer to anyone recording the Edus, And in the past, we haven't had that it says dafka, that they recorded the Eidus. Perhaps they threw that in here too. But the mashmoyis of the Gemara that we had before, remember a couple of days ago, the Gemara said, why do we write down the Divrei HaMechayvin? Why do we write down the Divrei HaMezaken? The Gemara said, the reason why we write the Divrei HaMechayvin is because we want to hear all the judges explain the reasons for conviction. And then if we do not have an absolute majority to acquit, but we don't have an absolute majority to go and convict, what we do is we're going to do Halona Sadin. Halona Sadin means we're going to wait for the next day. Why? So that all the Dayanim can go and rethink their positions. Overnight, maybe they'll figure out a reasonless chus. So we write it all down so that the next day they can go and read their arguments of the day before. Are they still with those arguments or not? And the Gemara says, what happens if one of those rabbis comes up with a new argument, lechayev, lechiyuv, that he didn't come up with previously? We're going to write it down, and we're going to have another halona sadin. We're going to wait another day. That's the reason why you write everything down, to know what the totality of all the arguments for conviction. And if we have new ones the next day, we write it down, and then we're going to wait another night for the next day. What's the reason why we wrote down the Divrei HaMezaken? The Gemara said before, because just in case two come up with the same viewpoint, but based on two different limudim, two different psukim, then we're only going to count them as one and not as two, because the Gemara said, Achaz Dibra Lekim Shtaim Shtzu Shamati Mikra Echad Yoytze Lekama Tamim. From one pasuk you can go and learn different halachas. But you can't go and learn one halacha from multiple psukim. Each pasuk is on its own. So if two of the tayonim said the same psak based on two different psukim, we're only going to count it as one and not as two. So that's why we write down the machayden and mezakin for those purposes. Anyways, continuing on the Mishnah, how many tayonim and talmidim did we have all together? The Gemara on the top of the Amid, the Shalosh Shurei Shel Talmid HaChachamim Yoishim Lefneir. When we write Talmid HaChachamim, it really means Talmidim. Then in addition to, let's say, the 23, we have three rows of further 23 each. In other words, 69 Talmidim. 92. In addition to the first 23, that's 92 altogether. What is the purpose of all the Talmidim being there? Number one, they should get Shimush, but also, just in case one of the 23 for some reason has to recuse himself, Chas V'Shalom becomes sick, Chas V'Shalom passes away, or what have you. So we may need to replace one of the Dayanim. So we're going to go and take one of the Talmidim from those three rows in back of the row, or the crescent-shaped row of the Sanhedrin. And as we'll see in the Gemara, it's not that we just go and throw lots, draw lots, and take any one of the 69, but we dafka go and take the greatest of those 69, who sat in the first row, in the first seat of the first row. And if in fact one of those had to be selected, either for this din Torah, or after a year or two or 5 years, when one of the Talmid Chacham, one of the Dayanim of the 23, has now retired, or Chas V'Shalom passed away, so now we have to replace him permanently. So what do? We take the first of that first row of 23, and we promote him. And now we do what we call musical chairs, which means that the other 22 in that row all move up one seat to the seat that has now been vacated by that first one, who has now been upgraded to a dayan on the actual Beis Din. And therefore, the remaining 22 in the first row will now go all the way to the front, so to speak. In other words, each one moves over one chair. Now one seat will become vacant in that first row. So then we take the first of the second row, and now he gets promoted, and he moves up to the first row. And then once again, all of the 22 remaining Talmidim in that second row move over one. Again, there's one seat vacant. One from that final, from the third row, will now move up to the second row, and we'll now have one seat vacant at the end of the row, because all the other 22 have moved over one seat. What do we do with that final seat? So we'll see Mitchum at the end of the Mishnah. Now we're going to go to the Kohol, outside the Bezen Shtibel, outside those Talmidim, and we're going to select one that will be promoted to become a future Talmud, Talmud Chacham, and potentially die in the years to come. So the Mishnah goes through it in great detail, starting from the second line. Kol Echad V'Yechad Makiris Makoymai. All of the Talmid Chacham sitting in those three rows, and each row had 23. We'll see in a moment why they all had 23. Kol Echad V'Yechad Makiris Makoymai. Everybody recognizes his place, meaning I don't take your place, you don't take my place, because they're in a somewhat of a pecking order, that the first one in the row is the one that's going to be promoted as a replacement, and then the second one will replace him, and so on and so forth. So therefore, go and sit in your seat, so that eventually you're going to move up a seat as it keeps on...
When they had, you know, it was a tied judgment, they need to add two more, so they picked the two more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they bring two more chairs to the top row of the Dayanin, or you have 23 and two below 25?
I'm assuming that they moved two of the seats to the front and they included
the wings.
Them.
And the wings,
probably. Right, because they enlarged the circle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I assume that's correct. Right, that makes a lot of sense. So, Kolech Aliyech Makris Makaymai. Now, Hutrichu Lismaich, if it was necessary, either temporarily on a permanent basis, to be Saimech, in other words, to upgrade and promote one of those 69. Saimech Minari Shaina, that we take from the first row of the three rows of 23. And then Echad Min Hashniya Bolel Rishayna. So then, since there's now a vacant seat in the first row, so somebody from the second row now moves up to the first row. Echad Min Shlishi Bolel Rishayna, and one from the third row moves up to the second row. But now I have in the third row an empty seat. Baruch Lehem Oid Echad Min Hakol. So therefore, we're going to go and choose one of the Kohol, meaning someone that was not previously among these 69. Or Mashiv Noisa Rishlishis, and now we put him in that third row, so now all of the seats have been taken once again. And he wouldn't go and sit in the place that had been vacated by the one that was promoted. Why? Because everybody else has moved up, like musical chairs. Everybody keeps on moving up one, so he's going to have the final seat that is now empty, as opposed to the first seat. He sits in the back, the final seat in the third row. Then why do you have to have three rows of 23? So Rashi explains, like we've had in the past, what happens if you have a situation where you have a stalemate, you have either they're exactly the same number, or you have one more lira'a than two. In other words, and we start off with a bezin of 23, 12 want to be machayev, want to convict, 11 want to acquit. As we know, based on one alone, Ein hatiyoscha l'ra, based on one, you have to have at least two. So we've said in the past that you moisif two new dayanim, and then hopefully they will decide one way or the other. And if they both join the mechayvim, that will have more than the two that is necessary. If unfortunately they split once again, and now we're no longer 12 and 11, now we are 13 and 12, so we add two more. And if those two go on the side of the zakai, so now we'll have one majority l'toiva, or Hashem will acquit, and we won't have to go and kill that individual. So how many more times will we do this? We'll do this up to another 48 additional dayan. Why 48? Because you cannot have a Sanhedrin Ketana of more than the number of the Sanhedrin Gedoyla. And since the Sanhedrin Gedoyla are 70 or 71, so if you add to the 23, 48. In other words, you do this 24 times, you keep on adding 2, 2, 2, 2. Ultimately, you get to 71, and that's the maximum that you can go and increase. So really then, explains Rashi, so why do I have to have three rows of 23? That's 69. I only need 48. So what's going on? Why do I have 69? So Rashi explains the reason is because al derech eretz, you can't have a row which is larger than the original row, meaning the original row of all the dayanim is that of 23. If you wanted to do the easiest way, it add two more rows of 24. 24 and 24 is 48, tamachai. The problem is, it's pasnish that the regular tribunal has 23, and the talmidim have 24. That's larger, a greater number, sinish. So you're going to tell me, okay, so make it 23 and 23, and then have two at the end. So therefore, this is the best eight to have three times 23. If you look at the top Rashi, v'sholeh shuras. Each one of them had 23. If you have a situation where you have a divided court, let's say 12 are in favor of convicting. Umiyat Mezakin, 11 are in favor of acquitting. We already had that based on the first Mishnah. So you have to keep on adding two. Achimiyachim until the maximum is 71. Hilkach Tzarech Lohish Lefneim Arboy Mushmoina. So based on simple arithmetic, since the maximum is 71, you'd have to have another 48 Lahashlomas Shivim V'yechad to add up altogether to the 71. V'lav Oyrech Ara Lasish Shuris L'Talmidim Shul Chavtalit. Absinisht. V'lav Oyrech Ara means Absinisht Kader Echarit. To go and make rows of 24 Talmidim should take Meruba Mishal Dayanim. The Dayanim only 23. You're going to make Talmidim 24. V'lav Lasish Shuris Ketanois. It's also Absinisht to go and make shorter shurais. In other words, this is 23, and then you're going to add a mushal 3 of 16 each. 3 times 16 would get you 48. Ochnish, you want it to be symmetrical, you want it to look presentable.
Pretty,
yeah. V'lishtayim shol chavgimel, also not 2 times 23, you'd have 46. The echad shol shnayim talmidim, then you'd have two big ones of 23, 23, and then two in the back. Helkach avdi shol shuris, and that's why the meaning was to go make 3 shuris of 23. And then that was in addition to the original shura of the 23 dayanim. So altogether in the room you had 92 at a minimum. Besides that, of course, you had the stenographers and you had also the court enforcers. But that's the what our mission is focused.
It's a tikkun for the community because they have to pay these guys. They gotta eat.
I don't know whether they have to pay the tamidichalish. I don't know how it worked in terms of the support.
Why does she have to pay? There's no public treasury to pay. I mean, maybe for the enforcers, the guy who gives malchus, the guy who walks the
Dayanim.
No, they're doing a mitzvah. They're doing this pro bono, right?
Maybe all of their wives are working and supporting them. Our Mishnah doesn't go into that. How that worked out. Anyway, getting to the Gemara, we started off the Mishnah that they sat in such a crescent shape. Frank, the woman on immediately, do you have a makar in the Torah? Yes, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim, as we know, is a Kodesh Kadoshim. It's a love story, if you will, between Kaviyachol and Ribono Shel Olam and between Klal Yisrael. So it says in the pasuk, Shorech Agan HaSa'ar Al Yechsar HaMozeg. And then the pasuk continues on, Bitnech HaReimas Chitim Suga Bashishan. The first thing Gemara darshins, the first part of the pasuk, Shorech Agan HaSa'ar Yechsar HaMozeg. Shorerech in English is the navel, and navel, and when we were kids, we didn't use the term navel, we would say the belly button, gizum tight. Shorerech, zu Sanhedrin. The navel is referring to the Sanhedrin. Where does the belly buttons and navels refer to the Sanhedrin? Lama nikra shema shorerech, shehi yoshevez betibure shel oilam. Just like the belly button, the navel is in the middle of a person's body. In fact, in Hebrew, it's called Tibor. We've had that in by an Egla Rufa. When you measure, you do the Medida. You do the Medida from the nose. You do the Medida from the Tibor, from that navel. And therefore, the Sanhedrin is sitting with Tibur Shel Olam, meaning that the Beis Hamikdash is considered to be the center of the world. And the Sanhedrin Gedoyla is sitting in the Lishkas HaGozes, which is the center of the Beis Hamikdash. So even though the regular Sanhedrin Ktana, of course, is sitting at Mechol Ir V'ir, Mechol Shevet V'Shevet. You have numerous such Sanhedrin Ktana. However, the Shorech is referring to the big Sanhedrin of the 71, and that's V'tibur Shel Olam. That's the word Shorech. Agan, Shehi Megina Kol Olam Kuloi. The word Agan from Lashon Mogen, Mogen Avraham, that it's a shield and protects the entire world as a result of the fact that it's dispensing Torah and Mishpat and justice. So therefore, that's the Torah is making on the world. Hasar shidoyim lesahar. Sar means a moon. The Gemara uses the term siara, and we're saying that the formation in the room where the court meets, that formation of the 23 or the 71, is like a sar, like a moon. And the moon, as we know, most of the month is not ogul. It's not a full circle. It's only a semicircle, like a crescent shape. And that's exactly our status over here. Rashi just says on the word Sahar Ba'agula, Tayyim Sahar Ba'agula. But the Marsha says in the back that when we say Sar, it means like a moon, which is not fully circle, except, you know, on the 14th, 15th, 16th day of the month, then it's a full moon. But otherwise, the vast majority of the month, the beginning of the month, the second part of the month, you see it's only like a crescent shape. So that's the Sahar, that's the formation of the Sanhedrin. And it continues on Yechzer HaMozek. It should not be missing the Mozek. The Mozek means Meziga. What means Meziga? Meziga Sakos. What does Meziga Sakos mean?
To mix water and wine together to
dilute. And what is the proportion that you mix together?
2 to 1 or 3 to 1. Two parts water or 3 parts water to 1 part raw wine.
Good. So Rashi over here talks about the 2 parts water and the 1 part of wine. Why does Rashi Dafka go and say 2 to 1 instead of 3 to 1? The reason for that is because if you take the Sanhedrin of 71 and you divide it by 3, you'll see that the number is 23, and of course in a fraction. So put away the fraction, 3 times 23. So when you have your bezin together, you have to make sure that even of the Sanhedrin Hagdoila, you always have at all times 23 present there in the Lishkas Agosas. Like the Gemara says, Al Yechzer HaMozek, don't be missing the necessary number for your meziga, which is the wine, which is 1/3 of the entire 71. If one of them had to leave, for whatever reason, Rashi just says, la'asokov. La'asokov could mean to use the facilities, or la'asokov could mean that he had to...
Business meeting,
he had to go to a bris, he had to go to whatever, he was busy. And then what happens now? Yesh esem u'shloisha. If you have left in the Lishkas Agosas of the 71 at least 23, Keneged Sanhedrin Ketana, Yoitz, and then you can leave. If you have any Yoitz, otherwise, you have to have a minimum at all times 23, and that's the Lashon HaPasuk, Al Yechzer. There should not be a chesoroin of mozeg, the amount that you need for meziga to go and dilute with water, to go and have a full cuss of wine. So here too, when you want to have the 71 parts, you have to leave at least 23. So that if you mix it with 2 other parts with 48, you get to 71. That's how Rashi learns Pshat. If you look at the Rashi, Trim Lasar Ba'agula, this Rashi is close to the Mishnah, which is down below. You see where the Mishnah starts. So about 5 lines above that. Yechzer HaMozeg, Mozeg Yishnei Chalkei Mayim, Ve'echad Yayin, 2 parts of water to 1 part of wine. Yechzer Mozeg, Al Yechzeru Nechelik HaShlishi, make sure that you don't have less than that 1/3, meaning the 1/3 wine that you need for a proper meziga, so that it's relevant, that you can go and add to it water and make it a fully constituted wine for drinking. As Shlomish explains, Rashi Shlish Shivim, like we said before, 30, a third, so about 70, a third of 70.
Can you show me which Rashi you're looking at? I'm sorry.
It's Rashi here on the Defnant. So it's right here.
Right next to the Mishnah
here.
Oh, I see.
It's a good 5 lines.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Nothing happened. We're still best friends. What does Rashi say? Al Yechzer HaMozek. You have that? We'll go up 2 lines further. Doim al Sahar Bagul. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Sahar Bagul. It has to be round. Mozek Shnei Chalki Mayim Ve'echad Yayin. You have that? 2/3 and 1/3? Al Yechzer Mozek. Al Yechzer Mechelik HaShlishi. Don't have less than that third, which means the Yayin. Shu Kedei Haroi Vimzoi, which is the minimum amount that you need for the Mezika. 1/3 wine, 2/3 water. A third of 70, a third of 71 is 23.
Thank you.
It's good? Fine. That's Rashi over here. We hadn't grabbed an interesting toisis earlier on that it's a different cheshbon. What was the cheshbon? He says that the word mozig mem zayin gimel. Anybody know the gematria mem zayin gimel? Mem is 40,
zayin is 7,
50 altogether. So mozig, it should not be missing 50, which means that if you start off with 71 and you're not supposed to be missing 50, which means you can be missing 49, so 71 minus 49 gets you to 22. And ain't bezin shakol, and you add 1 and you get 23. Sounds almost like a chassidish toira, but it's a toisis. We had this toisis earlier on in our mesechta about how yechzer hamozik. Okay, so Barry and Mendy both wondering, and everybody's wondering, where's that toisis? Yeah, okay. We have to go and find it somewhere.
In another version.
Another version? It's earlier on in our Masechta. For a moment. We'll try to find it. If I don't find it, it'll be very embarrassing. So hopefully I find it. Yes, I'm Mazeg and Ziga. And we had towards the beginning of the Masechta. We have to have the full 71. It shouldn't be missing.
Yudalit Amid Beis, maybe? Shas is citing Yudalit Amid Beis.
Okay, Shkoyach, you're 100% right.
And thank you, Mr. Shas.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Shas, and thank you, Baring, for finding that, Mr. Shas.
Amid Beis.
Amid Beis, Yudalit Amid Beis. What do you think the Dibra Maschal is? Yasir Amazig, exactly right. Now, if you go all the way to the end of the Tosfos, five lines before the end, you see V'yesh Mefarshim?
Al
Yasir Amazig, Shle Yasir Begimatri Amazig. Make sure you don't have missing 50. 71 minus 49 is okay. The Mishtar Yechav Beis. But 22 is not enough. Vein Bez and Shokel. We see Vinalei and Echad. So you have your Cheshbon of the 23. It's good?
Yeah.
I just got paid back because I was, shepherding you that you couldn't find the Rashi.
I found the Tosfos.
Shine for Hashem. Give up.
Collaboration. Just remind me here. You have three rows. 23.
How much is 23?
69. Right, and then the two others are 71.
Which two others are you referring to?
So top it off.
Yeah,
but you don't have here two over here.
It's only a bezin of 23. This is not the bezin of Agadol in Lishkas Gazet. Right. This is just the local, this is in Bnei Brak.
Yeah. You have 23, and then you have three rows of 23 each.
Four, those are the
Talmidim.
I see, okay.
Those Talmidim will be promoted slowly but surely, and the reason why you have three rows, the first class, the business class, and then economy class. So when you take one from the business class and you put it with the Dayanim, so then you take one from the first class, from the business class, and you add to the first class. Then you take one from the economy class.
And it's so on. I know, different arrangement.
Well, they also had a crescent shape of 71, but our Mishnah doesn't tell us how many Talmidim there were in addition to that. Maybe there was also 3 times 23, maybe not, maybe 3 times 71. It doesn't say tell us.
In theory,
yes.
Rav Chaim Eliezer was a young man.
Yes, yes.
A Talmud. Mm-hmm. He's elevated to be on the Beis Din.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the lowest one. He should be put up much further. He's an Eloi, a Goyim.
So presumably he would have been Taka the first one in the first row of the Talmudim.
No, but when he's graduated to the Beis Din, instead of being Mishnah, he goes to the last one. He's the lowest rung.
They don't evaluate everybody.
How do they measure?
They re-rank.
How do they measure rankings?
They gave tests on a weekly basis, and then whoever got the hundreds, they were in the first row.
Really?
Got the 98 in the second row, and the 95 in the third row.
We have the same thing with the minimum pillow and ducking, right? That they had the lowest of them.
It was Yonasim Zil. And Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, the greatest was Yonasim Ben Zil, the lowest Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Ben Zakkai.
Very good.
Satan and man.
Very good. Beautiful. And what was the madrigas of each one?
They knew everything. The lowest Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai knew Kol Mishnah, the Torah, Gemara, everything. He knew everything.
Bias to Bai Veruva, Sicha Sheidim, Sicha Degolim, the Kolim, and so on and so forth. However, what was the madriga of Rabbi Yosef Ben? What was
Yosef Ben Zil is the highest, and Yochanan Ben Zakkai was the least.
What was the
Yosef Ben Zil?
Birds on top would call me birds.
That's a Gemara, it's a Chagiga, I think, of a Rabbi.
But anyway, you see there, they rated them, so they had a
weekly test.
Exactly.
It's
like their shoe, they do the same thing.
Exactly, that's right. They give tests on a weekly, monthly basis, and they see. Very good.
Now the
Marsha adds another knetch. If you want to look at the Marsha,
of course,
in my Gemara, it's Daf Chof Hei of the Marsha in the back after you finish. My brother Shai doesn't have. You should have a Gemara there in
top.
Okay, you want to take that one? Fine. That was right. I have Daf Chof Hei. Maybe you have.
I think it's probably the same pagination. Yeah.
If you have Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph.
Which is Marsha. There are so many pages.
Here, take my bill. I'll switch it through.
He won't give you a bill.
Here's the.
Okay? You have Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. Hold on. I'm going to without. Yeshevas B'tiburish Eloilim. Have that? Yeshevas to with. Yeah, Bill, you with me?
Yeah.
Good. I want to make sure. You have yours?
Yes, one letter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeshevas B'tiburish Eloilim. Ratzaloimar, the Emtza Oilim. That's what we already said. Sho'avir Memuzog. In Eretz Yisrael, when they talk about the weather, mezeg avir, right? And if there's air conditioning, they call it mizug avir. And therefore, it could very well be, although the Marsha doesn't say it clearly, that's part of al yechsar hamozeg. It should be good weather, good air. If you go to cold places, that might cause your mind not to expand and not to think. I'm just worried about it. It's so cold, I have to put on another sweater, another coat. And his mind is really not thinking in terms of, with the full breadth and depth, to address the issues. So you have to have the Avim Mamuzik, a nice, pleasant climate. And therefore, it's a place where you can dream and you can have wisdom and you can learn.
Focus.
Yoma Agan, she megin al kol oilam, like we said in the Gemara. How is it megin? Kisham oindin shloish amude oilam. There in the Beis Hamikdash, and in the Ishkas Hagodes, and in Sanhedrin, you have the three Amudim. And that Oilim Kayim, like you have in Pirkei Avos. What are those? The Torah, the Din, the Emes. Shlo Yetze HaTorah, the Din LaMitoy, the Chol Batei Dinim, Ki Im Sham. The best, the highest bezin in the world, where you know for sure that the Torah and the Din comes out, LaMitoy, is there in the Lishkas Hagodes in the Sanhedrin Gadol. Kemoshe Kosev, the Perek, Zakin Mamre, as we'll see next Sham. The Omishi doing the Sahar, what's up is to the moon, Sha'al Roiv. Most of the time, ain't Igula Shal Halavone Sholeh, it's not a full moon, Rak Chatzi Eagle, only a crescent shape. But Hain Yoshim Sanhedrin, Mashainkin Achama, the sun Lamushal, Shila Oilam Igula Sholeh, it's always rounded. You ever see that the only see part of the sun? You either see it, you don't see it, but you don't see part of it, unless, of course, there's an eclipse. But under normal circumstances, it's oil. If you have in the Sanhedrin Gedoyla in the Lishkas Hagodes at least the number of 23, which corresponds to the Sanhedrin Ketana, then it's like Yain HaMamuzag, the dilution of the wine, dilution ratio. Even though the roiv of the liquid, of course, is the water. But it's the toffel to the yain. Because afterwards you don't make a sha'akul, you make a very big offer. The bezin shel chav gimel, hein ho ikr, so you don adin nefashis, b'chol mokayim. That's why you had these batidinim all over of 23. El sheshnei chalokim, dehainu ad shimim, so yisifu, hein tfeilim legabi haf chav gimel. Those that you add to them are considered to be secondary to the 23. Lo yisifu oisim sham, el shle yitztarku lehoisif, we're only going to add the 48 to the Sanhedrin Ketana if and when you have a machloikis in the 23. You have 12 against 11, and the 12 unfortunately are for conviction, 11 are for acquitting. So then you're going to have to add up to another 48 to the maximum of 71. And that's why, since your Sanhedrin Ketana, the Iker is 23. So of the 71, also the Iker is 23, and you build and build on that up to 71 in case there's a machlokes. And the pasuk continues on, v'omer bitnech arei maschitim. What's that maschitim? Dima oisel mechitim, sha'akol tzrichim. Did we learn this already? The Gemara about the chitim? Okay, so just please hold your hands here just for 1 second. We'll go back to the Gemara for 3 lines, and we're going to come back once again to the Marsha. Bitnech, this is a continuation of the same. We've already finished the pasuk for our purposes. The reason why we brought this pasuk was, how do you know they had the crescent shape? So we learned from the Agan Hasar, that it's a Sierra, just like the moon's crescent shape, there's also crescent shape. And now the pasuk continues, Bitnech arei maschitim, that means your stomach is like a heap of chitim of wheat. Everybody enjoys the wheat because we need that for our basics for making bread, challah, matzah, cake. Af Sanhedrin, hakol nehenem mitamein. Everybody has a no. Nevos epis, the inyan of chitim. I'm sure there are other foods too that hakol nehenem mimena. Nevos epis chitim. So right now, continuing back to the Marsha says, bitnech arei maschitim, dima oisim lechitim, shehakol tzrichem lehem b'chol rith, shebechol bezdin, you remember the Gemara says at the end of Masechtas Hoyrius, we had Rabba and Rav Yosef. The question was, who should be the new Rosh Hashikah? One is Rabba, is Oikah Harim, right. And
Yosef is Sinai.
Rav Yosef is Sinai, and therefore the Gemara said, we depend on Rav Yosef, we're going to appoint him first, because he is the Hakol Tzricha Lamore Chitya, because Rav Yosef was a tremendous genius, and he knew Kol HaTorah by heart, right. And one of the main reasons he knew it by heart
was because he
was a Saginar. So unfortunately he had to commit everything to memory. He couldn't read anything, so by definition he had to know everything by heart. And that's why they said we should go and take Rav Yosef. He more refers to that as Mori Chitim. Chitim, because everybody needs Chitim. But perhaps in addition to the Marsha, we could add, as you know, it says in the Gemara, there's a three-way machloikis what was the Eitz Hadas? One of the three Mandiyomim says that it was Chita.
Esrog, Chita, or Yayin?
The Chita, the Esrog, in Yerushalmi. Oh. In Bavli, you have Chita, Yayin, and
Apple.
And also Te'enim, also figs. Where do you get?
Because Hashem covers them with the fig leaf.
Exactly, and that's where the famous expression of the fig leaf comes from the master, the Kodesh Baruch Hu went and made for them and Ali Te'enim, right. So anyway, bottom line is, but one of them is Chita. I mean, the Gemara says in Brachas, and here in Sanhedrin, the same Gemara is in Sanhedrin also, what's the inyan of Chita? Because a child starts getting his chachm, starts getting his maturity, when he starts eating from the Chita. That being the case, that could be another reason why we refer to this as bitnech areimas chitim, because the wisdom starts maturing in the human body, in the babies, and the little kids, when they start eating from chita, they start eating wheat products. So that's also areimas chitim, that's where the chachma comes from. Anyway, the pasuk ends off, suga bashushana. Suga means a fence, shushanim are roses. Shafu, in fancy English, they call it a rose hedge. So it's not a real fence, but it's hedges of roses. Okay. Shafila kisuga shushanim leyifru tzu behen protzais. Klal Yisrael is very, very careful that even if the barrier is as thin and as delicate as that of a rose hedge, they're not going to make a pirza. What do you mean? There was this apikoidus that said to Rav Kahana, amrisu you. Jews believe, you Talmid Chacham believe, that Nida shorli Yehudim Bahadi Gabra, that a husband and wife, if she happens to be a Nida, they're allowed to be Mesiachid, and we don't have to worry that Chas Shalom, his Yetzer Hara, is going to overtake him to go and live with his wife when she is a Nida. Efsha Eish Ben Oiris is a fire which is flaming, which is burning, and it's not going to go and consume the house over here, meaning you have the Yetzer Hara and she happens to be a Nida. Don't you think that husband Chas Shalom is going to be oivin aveira? How do you allow for yichud? Amalei, so he answered him. The Torah was made about us. That suga bashishanim, shafilu kisuga bashishanim. Even if the division between the husband and wife is thin and fragile like that of roses, yifutim parotzes. You don't have to worry. They're not going to be make a pierce. So they're not going to break through. They're going to hold shtak. And similarly, says the Gemara, Shlokisham bihochav, another pasuk. Kafela harima in rakoseich, rakoseich afila rikonin shabach. Even the leidigers means those that are totally empty. In other words, people are not so stark in their Torah and their mitzvahs. Even the rikonin shabach, malei mitzvahs karimain are full of mitzvahs. Remind how many mitzvahs are there in a remind? 613. What's the makor for that? That are 613. There is no chazal. Like somebody showed me that somebody said asked Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. Vush Deitas, everybody talks about that Riman has 613. He says it's a Malbim in Shir HaShirim on this Pasuk. Malbim says that if you take out all the seeds, count them up, 613. I don't know if anybody that ever counted them, so it's always good. Yeah, so 613.
The Malbim counted.
The Malbim, apparently. Anyway, so you have that even the Rekonim are full of mitzvahs, you don't have to worry. Rav Zeir Omihach, I have another right. It says, V'yorech es riach begodav. What is this referring to? Yitzchak went and smelled the begodim of Yaakov Avinu, and it really wasn't begodim. It was these oirois of Gedoy Izim that were on him, that he was wearing. And those, of course, those type of oirois don't have a very pleasant smell.
It's terrible.
Even though, exactly, even though Rashi says he smelled that, and it smelled like a soda of tapuchim, a very nice fragrance like an apple orchard. Thank you. Rav Zeir Amihach v'yorach es reich begodav. I'll take it. Begodav ela boidav. Boidav means even those that are traitors and those betray. In other words, even those yidden that unfortunately betray the mitzvahs and are not shtark, nevertheless, Yaakov Avinu said about them, Yitzchak said, I smell those begodim, and they smell so fine and so good. So therefore, even our lowest ranking yidn, when it comes to their amunah and bitochen and the observance of mitzvahs, nevertheless, Yitzchak Avinu was able to smell the scent of these individuals, because certain things they keep to very strongly. It's like the suga of not living with a nida. You don't have to worry. So that's from the suga b'shishanim and the other two psukim. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Hano bar yoini dehad b'shavuusei d'rab zeira. Rashi says, bar yoini are pritzim loshen burim. These are Pritzim, a bunch of Jewish Shkotzim, so to speak. The Avishavus, they lived in Bishchenis of Rav Zeira. They have Makarav Lehu, and Rav Zeira had tremendous Ahavas Yisrael. He was Makarav, all these Baryonim, come on in, let's learn, let's be closer to Toydin, to Hashem. Kihechi, then had a little bit Yufta. He was hoping that they would all become Bali Tshuvit. The other Rabbanim were not happy about it because apparently they had a bad influence. It doesn't say why, but they weren't happy with what Reb Zeira did. But ultimately, when Reb Zeira ultimately passed away, Amri, they said, who said they?
Yeah.
These potential Bali Tshuvit said, Ada idna have a charicha cotton shoke, David boy alon rachme. Now, charicha cotton shoke was a nickname that Reb Zeira got.
Right.
How did he get this interesting nickname? So there's a Gemara elsewhere that Rashi cites that Reb Zeira was concerned that his ma'asim were not perfect and that he was sinning here and there and everywhere, and he wanted to go and do what we would call today the smell test. But in that time it wasn't the smell test, it was the Tanner test. And the Tanner test was that every 30 days he would go and put himself in the Tanner, inside an oven. Rashi says, Gutzahava, he was a short fellow, and therefore maybe that's how he got his name Zeira, from the name Zeira, Aklein Shigel, and he was able to fit into the Tanur. He would go and heat up the Tanur, and he would come out an hour or two later, Baruch Hashem, the way he went in, totally unsinged, unhurt, nothing happened. One time after 12 months, 2 years, whatever it was, people had gave him an ayin hara. He said, "Who this Reb Zeira must be? What a tzaddik! Can you imagine? Every month he goes into it, he comes out unsinged." So, because of that ayin hara, unfortunately, the last time that he did it, for our purposes, he unfortunately did get a singe on his leg. Shoik here means his thigh, and therefore they said charika cotton shake, cotton meaning a person who's short, charika shake, that his thighs are never singed. That's the new name that Reb Zeira got. And until now, we, these Baryoni, Taviboya Lon Rachmi, besides being Makar of them, he was Mispala for them every single day. He said a few capital Tilim, Raboya Shalom, be Machsa them the Tshuva. Hashta Man Boya Lon Rachmi. Who's going to go and ask Rachmanis for us? There's no one that favors us and that protects us and tries to be Machsa the Tshuva. It's here, Billy Bayu. So then they themselves started being Mahar of the Tshuva, of the Tshuva and Baruch Hashem. Reb Zeira got his wish and his desire, the old master tshuva. Didn't happen in his lifetime, but it happened post-mortem after he passed away.
How does he allow the Zomichal Nes to go into a...
That's a good question. That's not our sugya, but you're right.
And also, Bavav, who said, V'yirach is Reach Begadav.
Right.
The more elsewhere brings the case these two, not the greatest guys, and they... And they gave themselves over. There was someone who was the someone was killed, and they were going to kill everybody.
Two martyrs in Lud. It was in Lud. The Romans were going to kill everybody, and these because they confessed.
They confessed. They didn't do it.
Right, and the more brings his pasuk, I remember Bogdav,
that these were even the Bogdav have
a merit.
Very good. Beautiful. And then the final Gemara on our Mishnah, Sholei Shuris, Amar Abaye, Shema Mina, Ki Naidi, Kulu Naidi. When one moves, they all move together, what we call musical chairs. In other words, the first one from the first Talmidim, from the first row, gets promoted to become a Dayan. So then the one that sat in the second chair now goes to the first chair. The one in the third chair goes to the second chair. All of them move. V'lei melehu, ad idna hab yisim nebereisha, hashem besvisil di bedanvi. Why don't the people that, for instance, happen to be at the Hashem Asvisali Vedanvi, you had the first person in the second row and the first person in the third row. When you have the musical chairs, that first person in the third row now becomes the last one in the second row. And the first one in the second row now becomes the last one in the first row. And so therefore they feel that it's a psashtikul demotion. Until now, in the Yisim Nebereish, I was the first guy in my row. And now Hashem Asvisali Vedanvi, now I happen to be Biznovi, the word Danvi is like a Zonov. I'm the tail end of the next row. We tell him, you're much better off being a tail for the lions rather than being the head of the shualim of the foxes. Okay. Next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is very, very simple. There's a lot of agadat in this Mishnah. How would they try to go and and give warnings to the Edom, you better make sure that you're saying the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We had a similar Ketzem Ayman prior to this in an earlier mission, but that was talking about Dini Mamas. Here we're talking about Ma'aymas Edom Legabi Din Nefashas. So what would by Din Nefashas? In Nefashas, he machnisan oisan, or Ma'ayman Aleim, we brought in the Edom, and we would warn them. What would we say to them? Shema Toimu, just in case you are saying based on Oymed. Oymed means a general assessment. We'll see in the Gemara on the Amud Beis, it's what we call today circumstantial evidence. Umishmua, or you heard a rumor, a very intense rumor in town. Or Eid Mipiyed, you didn't see it yourself, but you heard it from some other Eid that said that he saw it. Umpi Adam Naman, or even you heard it from someone who's very reliable. Shema Iatam Yoidim, don't you know, Shesefeim Livvik Eschem Edrisha B'chakira, you should know we're going to go and ask you many, many very intensive and extensive questions in depth as to what you saw. Have Yoidin, Shaloi Kedina Mominus Din Nefashis. There's a fundamental difference between Mominus and Nefashis. Din Mominus Odom Nisim Mominu Meskapreloi. Worst comes to worst, if you were a Dayan or you were an aide and you messed up and you said the wrong thing, either because you lied or you just made a mistake, there's one way of fixing it. You just pay the money. You testified falsely about Shimon owing $100. Afterwards, you want to do tshuva, you'll pay $100 to Shimon. However, the nefashis, domoi b'dam z'ro'isav, tluyim boi ad soifo oilam. When chas v'sholom, someone is convicted and he is, chas v'sholom, he is executed, and what you said was only me'oimed, just based on circumstantial evidence, eid mi'pi'eid, the other number. If you didn't actually see it yourself clearly, chas v'sholom, the dam, the blood of that individual and the blood of all of his future generations is on you. Where do we see this concept from? She came and seen him a Kain, Shorigas Ochid. We know Kain killed Hevel. She never said the Pasik, Demeochicha Tziakin. Eini Oimer Damochicha, Ela Demeochicha. After all, there was only one Hevel that was killed. What's the Demei, the bloods of your brother? Should say the blood of your brother. Damoi Bedam Zero Yosef. It's talking about not only you killed Hevel, but Hevel could have had, over the years, millions of
billions
of offspring.
Beginning of human history.
Exactly. It could have been billions of offspring, and you killed all of them. So therefore, so this is the Iyum. So the first part was, make sure you actually saw it yourself. No circumstantial evidence. No aid me PA. Not rumors. Not that you heard it from someone, even other than them. You had to see it yourself. And you're going to have to answer Trisha V'chakira 100 questions, not 100, but we'll see Mitzvah in the later Mishnayos exactly what the Drisha V'chakir was all about. That the dam was splattered all over an Eitzim Avonim, and we're going to see in the Gemara in the Amud Beis, because he, Kayin, didn't know where the heart and the life of an individual, where it stems from. After all, he wasn't a doctor, and he didn't go to medical school, so he didn't know what one needs to do to go and kill someone else. So he stabbed him in about 100 different places, and that's why there was blood never splattering over Eitzim Avonim everywhere. That's why it says Dnei. And we continue on with the Iyon. Lefichach Nivra Odom Yechidi. Odom was created one. We didn't go and create multiple men, because Kadosh Baruch Hu created only one man. L'lamedcha shekolam abid nefesh achaz b'Yisrael ma'ala ol b'kosek yil ibed oylem mole. If Chas V'Shalom, you just go and take away one nefesh, it's as if you're killing a whole world. If you would have killed Odom Arishan, there wouldn't be any world left. B'kolam makayim nefesh achaz b'Yisrael. Anyone's makayim nefesh, ma'ala b'kosek kilu kiyam oylem mole. U'b'nei sholem abriyas. Another reason why Hashem only created one individual, that a person shouldn't go and say, I'm a bigger miyuchas than you. You were born from Adam. I was born from Adam plus. There have been two Adams. You are born from
Adam 2.0.
I'm sorry?
Adam 2.0.
Adam 2.0. You see that? If I was born Adam, so therefore people shouldn't go and brag, I come from Adam 2.0, and you come from Adam 1.0. Hashem, there, Yisbarach only made one
Adam. Adam HaRisham.
Risham, very good. The Apikorsim shouldn't say, that there are many different powers up there in the heavens, and one created Adam, and one created Adam 2.0. And to go and show the greatness of Hashem, if somebody wants to mint coins, he puts them in that mold, and he prints, and he goes and molds, and he mints 50 coins, Kulam Dayim Zelazed, they all look identical to each other. We all are in the same basic pattern of Adam Rishon. There are 3 billion, 9 billion, 8 billion, whatever number of people in the world, and everybody looks a little bit different.
And we learn from our community. We have Adam Mintz.
Adam Mintz. Psh, that was Kabbalah. Adam Mintz. Psh.
Mintz.
Yeah, that's what he meant. That's what he meant. Mintz, right? That's what you meant about with the mintz. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You didn't mean that people eat mintz at the end.
Don't mince words.
Okay, don't mince words. Oh, beautiful. V'chol kol echad v'yachad chayev lomer. Therefore, everybody should say, b'shvili nivra oilam. I have to be at my best conduct at all times. Why? Because the world was created because of me. Everybody's considered to be like an oilam mole. Therefore, don't do an aveiros which chas v'sholom can destroy the world, your world. And you're part of the world. B'shem HaTayman, if you're going to go and say, Ma'alon Letzor HaZois, when the aid hears this whole chattel, which is very, very beautiful and very nice, he's going to say, Oy, vay, vay, Chas HaShoah might execute that person by mistake and error, then not only his dam, but the dam of all his millions and billions of future offspring, it's all on my shoulders. Ma'alon Letzor HaZois, let me sit home and I don't have to get involved. Vale, Kvar Nemet says in the Pasuk, who aid, Oy Ro'a, Oy Yoda, in Lo Yagid, the Nosa Avoina. If you know Aedis, you have a duty, an obligation to go and share it, a mitzvah to go and tell Bezin, and not hold it to yourself. What happens if, in fact, I have negative Aedis about someone, which causes that person to be convicted and executed? It's on my shoulders. If, in fact, he's convicted because he did a terrible crime, so then his loss is not a loss to the world. Rina, it's a time for celebration and for music. Okay, Zotimar Tan Rabbanan, Keitzad, Me Oimed. We said in the Iyum, we tell him, don't go and testify based on Umdana. Umdana means on your own estimation and assessment, but not actual sighting, what we call circumstantial evidence. Oyimalahan, we say to the Edom, Shema Kachar Isim, perhaps this is what you saw. Shirat Acher Chaveroi L'Chorva. You saw two people running. Reuven was running after Shimon, and he had in his hand, as we'll see in a moment, a Sayef Biyodai, a Cherv. V'ratz Machrav, and you, the aid, you ran after them. U'metzosim, and you saw that Reuven had in his hand a Sayef Biyodai, means a sword in his hand. V'domai Metafteif. And you saw that, unfortunately, the blood was running from that sword. And you saw further, Vahorig Mefarper, and Neboth, the one that was killed, he is still now jerking. And unfortunately, it's his last couple of breaths, and it's all over. Im Kachar Isim, if that's what you saw. In other words, you didn't see Reuven stabbing Shimon. You just saw Reuven running after Shimon. He ran after him into a cave, or into a building, or whatever, into a tunnel. And then, at the end, you saw the light at the end of the tunnel. And that was that he had a bloody sword, and the other one, Nebuch, was lying almost dead on the ground. And Kachar Isim, if that's what you want to testify to, Lar Isim Klum, does it garnish mit nothing? Nothing. Zero mit zero. That's one of the parts of the warning that we give. And the Gemara tells us a story, Tanya Amr B'Shem Ben Shatach, Ere Ben Echama, it's a Lashon Shavua, Em Loi Ro'isi Echad Sheratz Achad Chaber L'Chorva. I once saw something like that. One running after the guy into a charva. Charva means a broken down building. Veratzi achrav, and he ran after. Verisi say biyod v'dam metaftif v'harig mefarper. The very same case that we're talking about. For Martin, and I said to him, Russia, mi hargoy lezeh. Who's the one that caused this ritzicha? There are only three of us here: the victim, who's almost dead, and you and me. Oy ani, oy ata. And I know it wasn't me. Ava ma esa. So I would like to go and have you executed for what you just did, this Maiser Tzicha, but there's nothing I can do. Because the Torah doesn't allow me to testify as to circumstantial evidence. I had to see the actual Tzicha, and I didn't see it. And therefore, I cannot say that I saw you. My testimony would be disqualified. Sin, who saw you? Only the one above.
And no Hasra, he's not giving him Hasra.
And, even if he
and there's no Tuedim.
Fine, okay. put that all in the mix here. 2 Adim, 5 Adim, 20 Adim, then the Hasra, but nobody saw. So Yedei Machshavus, it says, Shemin Shatach, the one above, the Yedei Machshavus, Yifra Me'oyse Ish Shahari Yeschaveroi, he should go and punish that fellow that killed his Chav. I don't know who the Chav is, I don't know who killed that, I didn't see it. But whoever did it, Hashem should go and punish him. Omru, and they say, Lezozum Hashem, it didn't take a moment. A snake came and Taka went and killed that perpetrator, the one that killed. Frank Timura, I by Nochashu. Why should he be killed by a snake? Since Beis Midrash was destroyed, Avu Misha Batla Sanhedri, even though there's no longer Sanhedrin, but Arba Mises Loi Batlu, Arba Mises are still being
executed,
implemented. In which respect, Loi Batlu, Va Batlu? Did you hear any recent case of a Jewish court having the authority to go and execute someone? Avada Nisht. El Din Arba Mises Loi Batlu. What means Din Arba Mises? Mishas chayv skila v'chas Hashem, someone was chayv skila for doing an aveira that you'd get stoning. Or yinifel menagah Kodesh Baruch Hu causes him to fall off the roof. Or yichay dar sosai. Because as we know, when it comes to skila, first you go and throw him down from an elevation, and then you throw the stones on him. Oh, see, he's ultimately from menagah genevach. That's how he passes away. Or yichay dar sosai, yichay tears him apart, which is essentially what happens after a person falls off a tall roof, and you throw the skila, you throw the stones at him, nebuch. It becomes a messy situation. And Mishnah is chayv sreifa, someone who's chayv sreifa, or noifel bidleika, either he falls into a fire, or nochesh makishai. Oh, that's our nochesh that we're talking about over here. Vosep is nochesh makishai, because as we'll see later in our mesechta, sreif is not what it sounds like, that you put the person into a bonfire, but you go and put in a molten lead and you have him swallow it, go down his mouth, and then it burns out his insides, etc. So nochesh makishai is very similar, that the venom goes and eats up and is a poison to his insides. Mishnah is chayv hariga, a person who's supposed to go and get cherev. Oynim sal malchus, either he's never caught by the malchus and they do a decapitation by the guillotine. Oy listem boin alav, or listem come and they never stab him and they kill him. Mishnah is chayv chenek, a person who's supposed to get choking. Oy tevei benor, never he chokes by sinking in the river. Oy meis besrunchi, or he has one of these respiratory ailments that causes him not to be able to breathe anymore. He chokes to death. So since this person was at most a roitzeach, and roitzeach, if I'm not mistaken, is bechenek.
Yes.
Bechenek. So Aibazoi had it. We're going to get to all the arabis.
He's
the talking
and the snuffing.
Yeah, exactly. Metashem. So therefore, why did he go and get sreifa? He should only have gotten chenek. What's going on? This tzaddik had other mitzvahs that he also did, meaning besides killing this individual, he was chayv a misa of sreifa for another aveira that he did.
Sreifa is chamura, so you give him
the omamar, mishnah is chayv shtei misas bezin, someone who did two aveiras, and he's therefore chayv misa for two reasons. You can't give him twice. You can only give him misa once. Nidon mechamura, he give him the higher one, and that's why he got the nochesh makishai, because
it's misa 2.0.
Very good. Zog dimara. We said in our Mishnah that we give him an iyum, and we say, if you sought me oimid, this circumstantial evidence, that doesn't do the trick, then you cannot testify on that basis. But dina fashis hudlan amdinan, we don't allow for an umdina. Habdina mamamnis amdinan, apparently there you would allow for an umdina. Why do I say apparently? Because when we had the earlier Mishnah, we talked about the iyum that they gave the aid. If you remember, the Gemara had three possible iyumim. The final iyum was, we told them, you should know that those that hired you to testify falsely, they look upon you as trash. Because we find that Izevel, that hired these two Edom to go and testify against Novus Yisraeli, she said, let's bring the B'nai Blial. And then when we tell these two witnesses, do you know the ones that hired you call you trash and garbage, the lowest of society? Ich, I'm trash. He's trash. I'm not going to testify if that's what they think of me. So that was the iyum they gave by the Dini Mamis. Why didn't they all to say over there, make sure not to say me oimet, just like you say here by Dini Nefashis, is the choyra simen of Dini Mamis amdinan. Then you would be able to go and say, I didn't see the actual loan between Reuben and Shimon. But what I did see is, right after the daf, I saw that Reuben had a whole wallet full of dollar bills. And I saw Shimon over there with his hand stuck out. I had to quickly go in to go and the mashma minion, because it wasn't enough just with Mendy. They asked me also to go in. And then I come in a minute later and I see that Reuven's wallet now is empty. Shimon now has a whole wad of cash in his hand. And then I said to myself, I know what's going on over here. Reuven is a very generous guy and he always gives loans to people and tzedakah, da da da. And Shimon is unfortunately a person, a nebuch, he needs money all the time. Mm-hmm. It must be that Reuven either gave a present or he gave a loan. But I didn't actually see it.
The question is, what's in your wallet?
What's in your wallet? So therefore, says the Gemara, that type of umdina apparently is okay when it comes to dinim amidus.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because otherwise, why won't we give him part of the eon, part of the warning by dinim amidus? Also, make sure it's not me oimed, make sure. So it's eitzachos that dinim amidus, umdina, you can say circumstantial evidence. If that's the case, kiman, that's like Rebacha. The sign Rebacha oimer, gomalu oicher ben hagmalim. Gomalu oicher ben hagmalim, that's a nice term to say that when a male and female camel mate, they don't mate ponim el ponim, like, for instance, human beings or like other animals, but they go back to back. How did that work? I don't know. But that's the minhag, says Rashi, that the goma goes back to back. That's why he uses the term oicher, that not, you see the achirayim, but ponim leiro. V'nimtza gomel horig betzidai. What happens if after that maisa bia of the two gemalim, then you find that there's a gomel which is lying dead right next to him? The Yiddush is a hard guy, that this gomel went and killed the other gomel. Why did this gomel kill the other gomel? So, if you remember, Rashi in Chumash says that when Yaakov sends to Esav that big, big present, so it says over there, by gemalim, bonim, esrim, or something like that, and Rashi says, bonim doesn't mean the children, means bano ehem. Bana Ahem means the boinim, those that the males that build and impregnate the female gemalim. Why doesn't the Torah say that beferish? Because the gemalim, when they have their tashmish, they do it betznius. So I think it's Rabbi Yankov Emden in the back of the Gemara that says, since they do it betznius, how do you see they do it betznius? Number one, they do it face to face, they do it back to back, so nobody should see what's going on. And number two, when the gomel sees another gomel coming by, get out of here. We're doing a Maisa Tasha. We're doing a Maisa Bia. Don't be here. We have to do Mitzvahs. What are you doing here? And then, if the other Gomel doesn't leave, he evicts him not only from the room, but also from this world.
You know why? Because he sees that this guy is so down and out that he would do this, that he's better off dead. And so that was Gamilas. Gamilas.
Gamilas, Chasson. Gamilas. Very good. So oicher ben agmal v'nimtza gomel horig betzida. You find a dead gomel, but you do. You can be convinced. Shezeh haragai. Absolutely, you didn't see it. You're just assuming umdana. So the chayyim have a raya to Ramacha that umdana works by mamonis. Says you want no, you have no raya. Because let me ask you a question. Eid mipiyei diktani b'din nefashis. That was part of the part of the iyun. Make sure it wasn't eid mipiyei. Are you going to tell me umdina nefashis? Who deloy amrinan? Are you believed on Eid Mipiei by Mominus? What time didn't we learn in the Mishnah? We had this before. Im Omar, who? If the Eid says, Omar, who Omali Shani Chayiv Loi? He told me that I owe him the money. Ishploini Omali, somebody else, Yankel told me Shu Chayiv Loi that he owes him the money. Loyamaklum, at Shioim Befanenu Hoydaloi. It has to be that the Malv and the Loi were standing together, and the Gemara said Befanenu means, and he said to us, Eidim, Atem Eidai. Listen to what he has to say. And he says, yes, I moed him his father, I owe $100 to Reuven, to the Malva. Shuchayv le Masayim did 100, but 200, Shuchayv le Masayim Zuz. So what do we see from that Mishnah? That even though Eid Mipiyed is possible, you have to hear it directly from the Malva and the Loiva, not from third parties. Ish ployni omali, hu omali, no. Got to hear it directly. Alma avagav the psili b'dinim ominis, even though an Eid Mipiyei doesn't work for dinim ominis, amrina lehu b'din nefashis. But nevertheless, we only have that as part of the iyum by the dinim nefashis. We didn't have that as part of the warning by the dinim ominis. So even though something is disqualified and doesn't work for dinim ominis, we don't say anything. Hachanami, so the same thing could be here too. That avagav the psili b'dinim ominis, even though umdana, circumstantial evidence, perhaps does not work, not like Rav Acha, even though I see the two gemalim just finished their bia and I find the gomel horig, I would not say that this animal killed it unless I actually saw it with my own eyes. So I've got the psil b'din amas. Amrin lehu b'din nefashis. Nevertheless, it is part of the iom, the warning by din nefashis, and not by din amas. And therefore, you have no raya that either the case of the gemalim or the case of that third party in the PA that are kosher by mamonis, they're not kosher by mamonis. But we didn't mention everything by the iom there, but we throw it into the iom by dina nefashis. Now, since we said that part of the warning that we gave them was that if you convict Chas V'Shalom falsely someone, that the Demei Achicha are on you, just like by Hevel and his progeny. So we're now going to Ashtikul Agarita. Omer of Yehuda, Parade Reb Chia. The same review that Rebbe Chiya we're going to have again in another couple of lines. He did many, many stabbings until finally Hevel passed away. He didn't know at what point in the body the one has to go and stab until the person passed away, until he came to his
neck. But his blood actually got so absorbed that there was no impression.
That's the next gemara.
Really?
The armor of Yehuda, Bereid Reb Chiya, same Reb Yehuda Reb Chiya, Miyom Shepascha Aretz Espia, from the day that the land opened up its mouth, the Kiblos of the Domi Shel Hevel, and absorbed the blood of Hevel, Shuv Loi Pascha, from that point on, the world never opened up once again in that type of fashion to go and absorb blood or for any other purpose. How do I know? Shenem, it says in the Pasuk. B'Kanaf Aretz Zmiris Shemanu Tzvi Letzadik. It says from Kanaf Aretz, from the corner of the world, Smir Shemanu, we heard the melodies, we heard the singing, Tzvila Tzadik, which was a tribute to the Tzadik, to the Rabbi Yishlal. Then why didn't it say Mekanaf Arts? Mekanaf Arts, Lemipi Arts. Why didn't it say that from the middle of the land, except from the corner of the land? Because the Pia Arts never opens its mouth, because Miyom Shepascha Arts is Pia Shuvlei Pascha.
What about Masa Korach?
Right, Timor Eisvei Chizki Achiv, but if the Arts is Pia. Where does it say that?
By Masa Korach.
You see that?
That was there from.
They're from Sheshem Ebreches. It did open up for future Pascha destruction, like the case of Korach. Presumably, you could add in parentheses anytime there are earthquakes that cause major destruction. Yes, Leroy, it opens up. But the Toivalei Pascha, ever since the Mass of Hevel, it never opens up the Toiva, and therefore, if the land wants to go and praise Hashem, it can only do it from the end of its mouth, from a Knaf Oretz, not from the middle. Again, Rabbi Reb Chiya. Gold is mechaperis, ovoy mechzef. A person did chas shalom a big aveira. If he has to go into golus, that takes it to mechaper half of his aveira. May he correct ksiv, because it says by kayin, v'yisi no v'nod, v'lepsoif ksiv, v'yeshi be'eretz noit. That he unfortunately had to go wander from place to place to place, and he finally settled in eretz noit. So we see that because of the fact that he went into golus, it's no longer not v'nod, it's only noit. So it's mechaper half. Omer of Yehuda, Golus mechaperes shloisha dvar, not only half, but golus can mechaper on three different major calamities, major plagues. Shneimer says in the pasuk, Hayoish b'ir hazois yomis b'cherev v'rov uvadever. Vayoytzim nofel ala kazdim hatzorim aleichem yichya v'hois aloi nafshoy l'shalom. The where does this pasuk appear? There's a pasuk in Yermia, and Yermia Novi is saying to Klal Yisrael, things are very, very bad. If you want to stay here, you want to stay in Yerushalayim, what happens is Chas B'Sholem, all the inhabitants, all the residents, will eventually pass away, either by Cherev, Ro'ov, or Dever. But if you leave Yerushalayim, now you're going to Golus, and you throw up your hands to the Kazdim, which are the Babylonians, the Babliim, Hatzorim Aleichem, who are the ones that are in siege around you, Yechia, you'll have a chance to live. So what do I see from this? That if you go into Golus, that it takes away the possibility of the three Cherev, Ro'ov, and Dev. Reb Yoichan Amar Golus Mechaperes Al HaKol. You go into Golus and Mechaper on all Yaveir. Shenemer, it says. Now this is referring to Yechonya Melech Yehuda, who initially was a bad guy, and ultimately, Baruch Hashem, he did tshuva and he became a good guy. So what does it say about him? Kisus Isha Zeh Ariri, say about this individual, Yechonya Melech Yehuda, that he is going to pass away ariri without children. Gevul Yitzlach miyom, if he's not going to have atzlocha. Kilo Yitzlach mizaroi, he's not going to have any children, no legacy. And he's not going to have ish yoish val kise David. He's not going to have a child or an enikel who's going to sit on the kise David HaMelech, even though Yechonya was part of the base David. He's not going to be any further generations who will sit from his family, sit on the throne of David HaMelech. Umoishloid b'Yehudin. There's not going to be a future. It goes together. He's not going to have Mizaroi Ishesha Kisei David Umoishloid b'Yehuda, who's going to continue to be the Moishel, the ruler in Yehuda. Says Imor, that was initially. But then afterwards, Yechonya went into Golus. Ubasa the Golexiv. What are we talking about? The Golus of Yechonya? Asher Hagla Yerushalayim. Ema Gelo Asher Haglisa. Yechonya Melech Yehuda. Right, so that's brought in the Beginner's Esther. So Yechonya went into Golus. So what does it say? Yeah. That Ubasa the Golexiv. Ubnei Yechonya. We said that Yechonya is not going to have any kids. Right? Abriri. He's not going to have children. No. Baruch Hashem, he had. Ubnei Yechonya. Asir Shaltiel Benoi. So machlokes ha-meforshim with Aser and Shaltiel are two children, or Aser was his only child and Shaltiel was his son. Anyway, it's a machlokes in meforshim. But bottom line, he's had children. He had Aser and he had Shaltiel. Shaltiel benoy. Benoy is either going back on Yechoni or it's going back on Aser. Anyway, what is the taich of these words? Asir shebrasi ima beso isurim. Yechoni was put into beis isurim, I think by Nebuchadnezzar, if I'm not mistaken. He was put into jail, and that's where he was born, in jail. Born to Yechonia, together with Yechonia's wife. We'll see in a moment that it was he was born under very, very difficult circumstances. Because the pasuk says shaltiel, sheshos lekel. It's as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu planted the seed into Mrs. Yechonia, so that this child should be born. Like other times when husbands and wives mate, because we have a rule that if a husband and wife are doing bia standing up, it's not going to work. And therefore, she's not going to become pregnant. But he, however, he was Yonis Abram Umid. So you're wondering, why did Yechonia do something so strange? So the top Rashi says, because the cell that he was placed in the prison cell was so small, he had no way, no place to go and lie down. So since you can't lie down and you have to have the mitzvah of beer, so then you stand up. See the top Rashi. Your base is soon tsar, very narrow, main makom mishkaf, no place to lie down. The shul shulu sham isha, somehow or other, Kadosh Baruch Hu's mishal shul lowered down into a cell his wife, and and then boom, they lived together standing up, and miraculously she became
cellular.
Oh, very good. And so here, that's what the Gemara is saying. Shaltiel sheshos lekel. The Kadosh Baruch Hu had to do a special implanting in the womb that you normally don't
have. This was before the Goyim implant, or after it.
You're talking about the implantation today and things like that?
No, I mean,
that was a forerunner.
It's not in vitro fertilization.
No.
Whatever. Yeah,
only
okay.
Conception.
Yeah, whatever. It's not immaculate. There's a husband and wife. But they were standing instead of lying down. Anyway, Dover Achin Nochabshat Shaltiel Shenishal Al Olosai. What means Shenishal Al Olosai? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said in that previous pasuk, he's not going to have Ish. And guess what? After the Golus, he did have children after all. And sorry? That's the next Shulchan Aruch. That's exactly what you're saying. But he had the children, either the child Asir and then Einik or Shaltiel, or he had two children, Asir and Shaltiel, or maybe Asir had two names, Asir and Shaltiel. But anyway, he did have children after all from Yechonia had kids. And then it says in the pasuk, El Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel was his Einikol, Zerubbabel was a son of Shaltiel, Shenizra Bibavel. He got the name Zerubbabel because of Zerah. He was Nizra Bibavel in Galus. Now, what was his real name?
Mashemoy.
Nechemya ben Chachalya Shemoy. So what do we see from that? A person goes into Galus, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away all of the punishments, even those punishments that Kadosh Baruch Hu swore that this fellow would never have any further children, and none of them are going to be Moshe Oyd Behuda. Guess what? He did have children, and Zerubbabel was the melech, and that's the same as Nehemiah, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, together with Ezra. Shalom, Yisrael, have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael.
So it's good to go to Galus?
Very great.
Good.